Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. It is good to overcome. It is good to win. And it is the Lord's will that we win and win and win. It glorifies Him. Failing and defeat doesn't glorify Him. Victory glorifies Him. And He is well able to make it so. So get your Bible, get something to make a note with. Come on into the class with us. We've saved you a seat right here close in the front. We don't want you distracted in the back, not paying attention. We got you right up here, right, where we can keep a close watch on you. And sometimes people say, well, you know, we're coming into your living room or whatever. No, we want you to come into the class and turn off all distractions and let the Word saturate you and change you. The Scripture said, as we behold, like in a mirror, the glory of God, we are changed into what we're seeing from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. So, Father, we thank You that this is true and this is real. And this is happening, and we ask You for the utterance and all the parts that facilitate this, and we give You the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We've been on the series now for a number of weeks that we're calling Faith for Provision. And the question is, you know, is it God's will for us to have plenty of material things? And there's a lot of varied opinions about that. And you'll hear people misquoting Scripture and saying, well, no, money is the root of all evil. That is a misquote. That is an alteration of Scripture. It didn't say that. It said the love of money. And if people say, well, same thing. No, not the same thing at all. You can love money and not have a dime. You can lay around and dream and lust after what you could do if you had money. The love of it is the problem, and covetousness, which the Bible said is idolatry. And thinking about, and if you want something too much, you'll go too far. You'll compromise. People lie. They steal. They kill to get it. That's evil. But it wasn't the money itself. It wasn't the car, the house, the clothes, the jewelry, the food, the things. That wasn't evil. I mean, what makes an expensive house evil? You know? I mean, if one car is better than another car, if it costs a lot, does that make it bad?
No.
Well, why does it cost a lot? A lot of times more was put into it, right? No, it wasn't that it's that the thing is bad, and sometimes the better the thing is, the nicer the thing is, the more expensive it is. That's just common. So no, is God against you having a good thing? No, He's against you having a bad thing. He's against an evil thing, and covetousness and love of things instead of God. That's bad. That's evil. But the Scripture says in 1 Timothy 6:17, God gives us richly all things to enjoy.
Amen.
Really? God would give you things just to enjoy? He will, if you'll put Him first. If you'll put Him first. So let's believe for that, release faith again today. Father, we do. We don't want to lust after things, and we don't love money, and we don't love things. We love You, and we love people, and we ask that You would work in us to will and to do of all Your good pleasure concerning all these things, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Like we said, faith for provision, we've been going over. And we're going one after another, 30 reasons why we're sure of this from Scripture. And we're down to reason number 17. That we're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of the covenant blessing. The covenant blessing. And one of the big things to see when we're looking at the covenant is God is revealing His will to us very clearly so that it should be unquestioned. There should be no debate about His will in these things. He said it plainly, clearly. Look in the 30th chapter again of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 30. And notice that he said in verse 15, Deuteronomy 30, 15, "See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil." He said it before who? You. I've set it before you. Did the Lord say, "It's all up to me. I'm controlling everything"? He did not say that. He said, "I'm setting this before you." What's he setting before us? Life and good on the one hand, death and evil on the other hand. Skip down to verse 19. "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death." Why would he need to say, "I call heaven and earth to record"? Because, like the scripture says in Romans, "Let God be true and every man a liar, that you may be justified when you are judged." People are judging God as unjust, as unfair. People are acting like everything wrong in their life is God's fault. They're blaming God for all manner of bad and evil stuff. And the Lord, He'll be able with every human being that has ever existed and ever will to go back and say, "Hey, I said it, I called heaven to record, I called earth to record, I said it in front of all beings and everybody. I put this in your hands. I set this before you. This is your choice." Now, millions of people don't believe that. They want to keep on insisting God is in control. Well, what do you mean by that? They mean everything that happens is God doing it. That's a lie. That is not true. If you want to say, "Well, God's got a master plan, and this master plan is going to be completed and fulfilled," yes. But whether you're involved in it or not is another thing. It's your choice whether you have the proper part or not. And the scripture says, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore," what? "Choose life." Whose choice is it? Is it God's choice? No. I mean, if He's making the choice, there's no need to say any of this. Right? He'll just say, "I've already made all the choices. You'll find out about it when it happens." No. That's why He's saying, "Heaven, witness this. Earth, witness this. The choice is yours. It's your choice. Not His. Your choice. Whether people are saved or lost is their choice. Whether they go to heaven or hell is their choice. And what we have in this life is our choice." He said, whether it is life and death, blessing and cursing. So there's life and blessing on one side. There's death and cursing on the other choice. And so He said, therefore, choose life. What does He want us to have?
Life.
Then death is not His will.
No.
And cursing is not His will.
No.
Life is His will.
Yes.
Blessing is His will.
Yes.
But it's not His choice.
No.
It's our choice. Now, I know I'm being redundant and repetitive, but we need to be. Because the devil has lied and lied and confused millions about this. You got millions that'll fight you over this. Oh, no, it's all up to God. It's all up to God. It's not all up to God. And you can't leave up to God what He left up to you. It doesn't work. Well, I'm just waiting on Him. No, He said the choice was yours. No, choose life that both you and your seed may live. Somebody say, I choose life.
I choose blessing.
Amen. Go back to Deuteronomy 28 now. We're still talking about the covenant of blessing. And remember, this is chapter 30. That was just two chapters after 28. And that's what he was referring to, is what he had already given. Because he went into detail about blessing and life, cursing and death, and then he reminds and sums it up there two chapters later. Chapter 28, Deuteronomy. He said, verse 1, it'll come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and do all His commandments, which I command you this day. Give me the summary of that again. Listen to me, right? And do what I tell you to do. Is that still a good idea? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Still right. And that I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Now, he's going to use this language again. But are we reading God's will?
Yes.
He wants you to listen to him and do what he says. Mm-hmm. And he says, and if you will, this is what I'm going to do for you. Yes. And this is covenant. Right? This is covenant agreement, covenant commitment, and it's blood covenant, sealed in blood. Cannot be more sure. And he says, I'm going to set you on high. So is it God's will for you to be high or low? Huh? Down. Down. Low. Bottom. Huh? Not God's will. For anybody. I said for anybody. God's will is high and up and lift you. The Bible said if you'll humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, in due season, what will He do? He'll lift you. He'll exalt you. He'll raise you. That's what that means. So what's God's will every day, every month, every year of your life that goes by, what's His will? Come on up. Come on up, right? Let's go higher. Let's go higher. Let's go higher. Not let's take a swoop and a dip and go down in the muck, huh? And bottom out and lose everything. And you know, I know it'll be hard, but, you know, I'm going to be with you. While you swirl down the drain, I'll remind you, I'm with you. No, no, no. His will is high, not low. Now, every verse that we read in the blessing is the will of God for everybody, for every generation, for all time. He doesn't change. After that, he goes into the curse. Does he want us cursed?
No.
What's the curse the result of? Not listening to God, not doing what he told you to do, rejecting him. So is it God's will for you to reject him?
No.
Then it's not his will for you to experience the curse.
No.
Everything we see in the curse is not his will for anybody, anytime. So are these significant verses?
Yes. Yes.
We're seeing what is His will and what is not His will. Very clearly. Verse 2. All these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. Is that the will of God?
Yes.
If you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. If you'll listen, do what He says. All these blessings will come on you and overtake you if you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. I've heard people say, well, you know, no, Brother Keith, that's transactional. That's not grace. That's you doing something so that he will do something. That's not grace. No. If the Lord tells you, New Testament, born again, made the righteousness of God in Christ, got the Holy Spirit living inside you, and he deals with you, sow this seed in this place. What if you don't do it? Will it make any difference in your harvest and your outcome?
Yes.
What if you have sown seed and God's trying to prosper you and he says, invest in this, buy this, get this, do this, take a step in this. And what if you're too scared and you won't do it? Or what if you're just too lazy and you don't want to work? Will you be blessed the same?
No.
What if you're planning to do something, go somewhere, but the Lord knows there's coming a catastrophe over there and he wants to spare you from it and he deals with you, don't go. And you go anyway. Will you be protected the same?
No.
Under grace?
No.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
No, see, this is wrong thinking. We know we're under grace, and so we're not trying to keep the law to be saved or to be righteous or to be loved by God.
Right.
Yet, what's right is still right. Right? I mean, if it was right then, it's going to be right now. Just doing what is right and doing what is good. And the scripture says, if, in Galatians, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You couldn't tell them to be led by the Spirit. They didn't have that option. They weren't even born again. And so today, instead of trying to meticulously keep the law, if we'll just pray and be led by the Spirit, we'll wind up doing the things that the law was given to reveal.
Amen.
But it's not a contradiction of what was already given. It's the same Spirit. It's the same God. It's the same right and wrong. He said, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed will you be in the city. Now, we talked about this a few classes back. What is the blessing? It's power. I said it's power. It's creative power. It's power that produces increase. It's power that works the miracle of multiplication. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created all the animals and man as well. He said to them, the Bible said he blessed them. He blessed them, which means he empowered them. He infused them with power that causes to increase and power that creates the miracle of multiplication of one becoming many. And he's saying, if you'll listen to me, if you'll do what I say. Now back then, the only way they could apply that was endeavoring to keep the particular tenets of the law and do what he said. Today, we are led by the Spirit and we walk by faith and we walk in love, which accomplishes all the things the law was given to accomplish and much more. But he said, if you listen to me and you'll do what I tell you to do, my blessing, my empowerment is going to be on you everywhere you go. When you get up and you walk out of the house, that empowerment's on you and working in you. When you go into the city, that empowerment's on you. When you go out in the country, that empowerment's on you. Can you see what he's saying?
Yes.
That this is the result of our covenant with him. We're in covenant with him. And this is the very reason he made the covenant. I mean, who's getting the most out of this covenant?
Yes.
He's the one with all the resources. He's the one with all the blessing power, right? We're the ones who needed it. And so in this covenant, it gives him a right to keep his blessing on us, working around us, working in us, which is just is him with us, helping us in everything we do. All these blessings will come on you and overtake you if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. It would do you good every time you drive into the city to remind yourself, all right, I'm blessed now. Right? I just come in the city. I'm blessed. And blessed will you be in the field. Well, I got out of the city limits. Now I'm in the country. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed, right? I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. That's your children and grandchildren. The fruit of your ground, that's your crops. The fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. These are all your investments. Now back then, they didn't have a lot of the tech stuff and mechanical stuff and business stuff and all the stuff. You know, it was mostly agrarian. But still today, I mean, this is why we eat. It's because there are crops, right? And so verse 5, blessed shall be your basket and your store. Your basket is what you operate out of daily. Your store is your reserves. So notice the word that keeps coming up. Blessed, 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 blessed. What's the blessing? Tell me again. What's the blessing? The blessing is power. Power that does what? Power that quickens, ministers life. Power that increases. Power that multiplies. Somebody say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Blessed shall be your basket, and blessed is your store. Blessed when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Are we reading God's will?
Yes.
Is this God's will that everybody listen to him and do what he says and respect him and the blood covenant? And is it his will that from the time they open their eyes, blessing is working on them? They get up and they go out, they're blessed. When they come in, they're blessed. Everywhere they go, they're blessed. And what they're doing, the blessing is working, working, working. This makes life enjoyable. Not just existing, certainly not just subsisting. But what makes you, for lack of a better word, feel good about getting up in the morning? Feel good about your life and what you're doing. And look on the positive side and have some brightness and have some light. Where does that come from? That comes from God, right? And it's his presence. And in his presence is fullness of joy. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Fullness of joy. He said, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed when you go out. You know, it would do you good, especially the next several days, since we're talking about this. When you go out of the door, what should you say? Look, I just went out. I'm blessed. Is that right? And then when you come back in, what do you say? Up, I just came in. I'm blessed. Now we're laughing, but is it true or not?
Yes.
Does his word mean anything?
Yes.
What's he emphasizing to us? That this is not just an odd experience that you would have once in a while. This is how you live. This, you live in the blessing. The blessing is on you. And this is not just some religious phrase. This is God's power, quickening, enlightening, increasing, multiplying. And since that's the case, when things go good and you increase and your good things multiply and people notice it, tell me what you say. What do you say? Oh, man, I've worked hard. I'm smart. Is that right? Huh? I burnt the midnight oil. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. Because it is possible to work four jobs and run yourself in the ground and be poor your whole life. many are doing this. It takes more than that. No, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. Hallelujah. And he adds no sorrow to it. Oh, when somebody says that, you say, "Ah, man, how did you do that? How did you come out so good?" And you say, the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. And you give him the praise. You give him the credit. The Lord will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They'll come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Is this still true?
Yes.
It's still true. It's true concerning spiritual enemies and those yielding to him. If you're walking in with God and you are trusting in this, and somebody attacks you and comes against you, woe to them. Because you got somebody big looking out for you, and your angels are big. Watch out. And it says, the Lord will command the blessing upon you in your storehouses, plural, and in all that you set your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Hallelujah. Everything you set your hand to, when you come out, when you go in the city, in the country, all your investments, the storehouses, and everything you set your hand to. Is this God's will? Does it sound like being broke? Does it sound like losing everything? No. You read about that in the last part of the chapter under the curse, which is not God's will. To say God wants you to be broke and lose everything that's described in the curse is the same as saying he wants you to rebel against him and not listen to him and not respect him and not obey him. No. He wants blessing, not curse. He wants life, not death. Right? Somebody said out loud, I am in the covenant.
I am in the covenant.
God is with me.
I listen to him.
I follow his spirit.
I heed his word.
And I am blessed. When I go out, I'm blessed. When I come in,
everything
I set my hand to
is empowered
to prosper
and succeed
because of the blessing
of the covenant.
Oh, hallelujah.
Our time's up again,
but we are the blessed, aren't we?
We'll see you next time
here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.